Hi, everybody. Welcome to another installment of Magical Baddies, the realest podcast on all things mystical, magical, and spiritual.
You did it.
Yay! My name is Leah.
And I'm Sophia.
And we have a really special episode today because we are going to talk about a very like nebulous, undefinable kind of thing for some people, and it's past lives. I don't even like the word past because of the implication of linearity of time. But anyway, we're going to get into all that today. So Sophia, I would love for you to share your take on past lives first.
Past lives, the concept, not the new A24 movie.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here's my take on past lives. I definitely believe in them. I think it's like a loaded thing. For me, I think our past is in our present, you know, like the Feist song. Mm-hmm. But I feel you can't talk about past lives without talking about dimensions of reality. And yeah. I think that dimensions of reality are layered. So yeah. Even though conceptually we can't fathom anything outside of like our physical reality, or maybe our physical and sometimes slightly spiritual, but I believe that there are layers of dimensions all coalescing all at once.
Yeah.
And so I think that these threads of quote past lives are living, breathing experiences that happen simultaneously and in the past and maybe in the future. And I think that's because we can't wrap our human brains around the concept of time, because time is not linear. So that's that's one thing.
Yeah.
The other thing about past lives is, you know, when I do one-on-one sessions, or if you have followed me for a long time, you know, I have a slight disdain of past lives, because people get really caught up in the stories, right? And I think people want to know who they are, what they were, what they do. Like, I think, you know, we love, and there's nothing wrong with that. Human beings love a story. Human beings love imagination, you know, and I think that there is some benefit to getting sucked up into that a little bit. But I think that what we want to pull away from is the story itself and grab those nuggets of concepts yeah. that maybe we are threaded in this life. So I will say, you know, lately I've been going through a lot of past life stuff personally. And as much as I'm trying to avoid the story, I can't not see the story, because I think the story helps marinate me into the experience itself.
Yeah.
And from there, yeah. I can marinate through like my feelings, what yeah. was happening at the time, you know, all of the outside and internal struggles or happiness or any of that, to kind of thread mm-hmm. it to where I am now. Because I think one of yeah. the biggest things that we probably don't think about, or most people don't think about when it comes to past lives, is like our bodily resonance, and like how that, you know, you get that reaction. So like, for example, I have this major fear, and also like I'm kind of like extremely like, it's one of those like, this is gross but I can't not look at it things, with huge tidal waves. And I can't not have a bodily reaction, an emotional reaction.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily need the story for it. I don't need to dive deep into the story. I just know there's something there. And I think that that yeah. helps me understand there's something conceptually there that threads into this life. So
a past anyways, life connection, as they
past
might
life
say.
Connection. Yeah. yeah. And you know, there's Edgar Cayce, when he, the Sleeping Prophet, when he talks about past lives or reincarnation, he talks about how it's a experience in the subconscious mind that is connected to your body rather than the conscious mind. So like when people talk about like memories or how come I don't remember or whatever, it's like, well, you do remember, it's there. It's just in there subconsciously. So I think for me, obviously having said that, the story is important, but I think people want to, what's the word? I think they just want
escape.
To hear this. Yeah. I think they want their imagination to run with it.
Yeah.
And then if it goes in a route that doesn't work, or they can mold it into the reality that they want, then they harp on the story rather than how it turns into the current life. I hope that
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything you just said. It's impossible. This doesn't, like, I think if I, at the beginning of my Akashic practice, I would have heard the statement I'm about to say and be like, I don't even understand how that works. But like, what I understand now is that it's impossible to like the concept of the soul and time are inextricable from each other. Like the soul is time. And the way the record showed me this is like, if you've watched my Instagram, you probably heard me say this, that the soul is like a string cheese. And that, so we have this like column of cheese, a string cheese. And then each lifetime is like pulling a strand off of the string cheese. And so all of the lifetimes are happening at the same time in this cheese, but you experience a lifetime consecutively as a human. So you pull off one strand and eat it, and then another one. I mean, yes, there are some people that just take a big bite of the cheese and forego the stringing of it, but we're not talking about them. But like the concept of like, you can't de-string all the cheeses and eat them separately at once. It's impossible in the dimension that we live in for that to happen. So it has to become a linear process. So if we map that onto like the lifetimes or the iterations of the soul, then lifetimes, the only way for the human mind to really conceive of it is linearly, like consecutively. But it's not consecutive, it's concurrent, it's happening all at once. So we're having, and I think like the more that I do Akashic work, the more I'm able to, in my body, have a sense of both linear time and concurrent time in a way that I couldn't have even imagined before doing this practice. But I'm actually, I don't think that past lives are, I don't have disdain for them. I do see them as useful, like on certain occasions. So it's like medicine. It's like, well, if you have a stomach ache, that's when you take Pepto-Bismol. You don't have to take it every single day.
Right.
But like when you have a stomach ache, so like when an issue comes up for somebody, for myself, for a client, that's when we go and consult and we see what information is there for us in other lifetimes. But I get what you're saying. Like I've had a lot of clients who book a session to like, tell me about my past lives. And I'm like,
right.
And the records are immediately like, what for? Like, why? And they're like, cause I just want to know. And it's like, well, that's like, get me a book. And you go into a library and you're like, which one? There's 500,000 here. Like what topic, why, what, like some fiction, nonfiction, like it's, you could just pick a random book. You could just pick a random lifetime. But I think because like my practice, and I think your practice too, is so grounded in like practical application for your life today, that it's like, it's a waste of our damn time to just be like in a library, just looking at every damn book. Like, I want to know what do we need? So yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah. I want to clarify, I don't have disdain for past lives. I think they're extremely useful and incredibly, you know, when we talk about like, when you see online, it's like the great remembering or we're remembering or whatever. I think there are that leads to this like, or misleads to this like big mystical like moment. But ultimately, I think that this helps us regain a sense of self. It like really grounds our self-awareness and sense of self and the things that we like and the things that like is like riding a bike, you know? So it's like remembering without having to start with the training wheels. And I also think that remembering has a lot to do with in terms of books, like the things that you're interested in. But you know, if past lives are making you hungry, we just want to let you know we're brought to you by Sargento. Plug in Magical Baddies promo code for 20%.
Can you imagine if we were like,
I would love
a Sargento sponsorship. Like if we were like, yes, we have a cool, hip new podcast. And our fucking first sponsor is Sargento. Yeah.
I had to pick like the low, the like middle of the run. It's not even craft. It's a Sargento.
Sargento reps, if you're listening, she didn't mean that when she said low.
No, not low. I'm just saying like this isn't, you know, this isn't like, Erewhon. This is on brand. Sargento is on brand for us. Says the marketing aspect of my brain. No,
I want to go after Sargento sponsorship now.
We should. No, but I think you're right. I think, you know, especially the string cheese analogy. It's so funny because I was thinking about the string cheese analogy yesterday, mostly because I was hungry for string cheese. But I think the string cheese analogy is a great analogy for all things outside of like past lives, because like, again, the world, the universe, even down to like emotion, but like expanding out of that is almost so hard for us to conceptualize.
Yeah.
So I think like, you know, again, when we're working with people one-on-one and they're like, I want to know about my past lives, or, you know, we bring up stuff and it makes you really emotional. You have to remember to take a step back, right? Because we don't necessarily need to relive this stuff. We just want to relive the concepts. And, you know, again, like towards, you know, I'm 37 weeks, like I've been going through a lot of past life stuff. As I'm going through a lot of real life stuff. And I think that I'm learning some really valuable things here. Like I'm seeing the ending of cycles. I'm feeling more grounded in security and in love. Like there's a lot of things that I'm learning here. But there's some stuff here that I'm also like, holy fuck, because I have a really tough reaction to insane asylums, like especially in like the 1850s, like that time period. And anytime I see anything on TV, it just like I can feel the worst things happen to me and my body. And so what I find is because my body is reacting to it in that way, because going insane has always been a fear of mine, I had to like seep myself into the story. What happened to me?
Yeah.
What was happening in the world? What was going on? Like, can I let go of that? Because that piece helps me let go of this idea that I'm going to lose all control when I have a panic attack, or I'm going to lose my mind, or, you know, and I find it interesting because I am still surrounded by, you know, my mom is schizophrenic. I suffer from a panic disorder and PTSD. So, you know, there are reminders around me, and it's kind of like, you know, the Easter bunny leaving these little mental eggs around my house, you know, and I'm trying to figure it out. So I do think there's value in looking back into that and like pushing myself to be like, okay, let's look into the story.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't crazy. Just because of the times, it seemed like I was crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, so that's fascinating. For what one thing, so right now in my Akashic mentorship, the month of April, we've spent working on unmet needs. And I just got the chapter of the workbook out on unmet needs last night. So I've been deep into unmet needs. And from an Akashic perspective, what I understand is that unmet needs can be deeply tied to experiences in other lifetimes. We can carry that. If we didn't meet the need in that lifetime, we're going to carry it into this lifetime, which little foreshadowing is going to help us talk about karma later. Mm-hmm. Quote, air quotes around karma. But I literally named, well, I didn't, the records did, named things like triggers, fears, limiting beliefs, repeating patterns. Triggers, fears, I forget, I think that's it. Triggers, fears, limiting beliefs, repeating patterns, and there's one more, I can't remember. They called them Easter eggs. That, like, that's the place you want to find those, because if you want the insight, if you're on, and here, air quotes around every single word I'm about to use, if you're on a healing journey, like if you are attempting to like get to a place in your path where you're no longer stuck behind an activation, a fear, a limiting belief, a trigger, et cetera, you're not stopped in your tracks, then you want to find those things, because those little Easter eggs are the doorway into understanding what do you need? How do you resolve that need? And a lot of times they come from other lifetimes. The story, the other thing I would say that sometimes people are not ready to learn, you know, everybody wants to hear like, oh, I was a captain of a ship in another lifetime. I was Cleopatra in another lifetime. We're often not prepared to hear like, no, you were a rapist and a murderer, or like, yeah, you did awful things. And from an Akashic perspective, that lifetimes where we cause massive harm from their perspective is actually neutral. There's no good or bad assignment to that lifetime. You weren't a bad person in that lifetime. You were attempting to meet unmet needs in whatever way that lifetime allowed you to, your belief system, your resources, your whatever, whatever. And so like when we look into lifetimes, I want people to be prepared. Like you asked for this. Like I remember I had a reading with a woman. This was early in my career. And she was like, I'm really obsessed with the Holocaust and I can't stop reading about it, thinking about it. And she was like, I have this like dream where I'm in a forest and there's a group of like Jewish people that had been detained and escaped from a concentration camp, and they ran into the forest and they're met with a group of Nazis who found them and were going to take them back. And I just, I want to know what this image is. And she's like, I just feel so bad about it. I feel like I can feel the terror. And she's like, was I one of those Jewish people? And the records are like, no, girl, you were a Nazi.
Yeah.
In that lifetime. And there's a reason why you are feeling tremendous pain and guilt around this still in this lifetime. You know, and of course I'm saying it with like some kind of authority, like I know the truth. Obviously, right. We're talking about a very, very, very incredibly soft science here. But like what the records wanted to do was show her, like, one, from their perspective, there's compassion for that lifetime as a Nazi, right, because they were doing what they needed to do in that, what they believed was the right thing for them in that lifetime to meet whatever needs, which included violence. But also your sense of guilt that you're living with throughout this lifetime, it's been brought in, it's carried over from that. And so it's coming up for you because it wants to be looked at and touched and resolved. And, you know, it's an unmet need that wants to be seen by you. But it was, she was not happy with that answer because she was so married to the story of I'm right, the victim.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's dangerous to marry yourself to the story. And I think that that's why I have such a disdain for it, because you have to be open. Here's the other thing, you know, I think this goes hand in hand with like when people are like, why? I just want to know. Just remember, if you're not being told, it's because you're not ready to know. Yeah. So I do think though, what she was missing in the overarching sense, and like immediately what I saw was like, okay, now you've got empathy. Now you've got compassion.
Yeah.
Now you have these points of views that are instilled in you now that you can use. And I think that, like, again, it's not just the point of view perspective that's important. We want to look at the historic point of view too. And I think this is where I nerd out. But if you look through leading up to World War II, how the German socioeconomic, like, life was just completely crashed. Like it
Yeah.
was obliterated. And so they were looking for scapegoats. They
Yeah.
were looking for some.
Yeah.
So these Nazis weren't necessarily going after Jewish people. Well, a giant bulk of them weren't necessarily going after like Jewish people and disabled people and all of this. I mean, they were.
Yeah.
But from their perspective, these are poor, under or not educated people. A lot of them couldn't read. And a lot of people were looking for, I mean, it's what we're going through now. They're looking for an
Yeah.
answer. They're looking for like,
Yeah.
who can we
Yeah.
blame for what I'm living right now?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
so we're in this like place. So, here in the US where we're going through honestly very similar situations, like,
Yeah.
not as completely obvious and horrible, but there are some fucking obvious things, shit going
Yeah.
on that is like clearly like these are concentration camps. These are
Yeah.
people being, hunted down. So,
Yeah.
we want to, I think that in looking at those perspectives and in having lifetimes where you've lived that, it's kind of like itching a scratch to like remember like a perspective, remember empathy, remember, like one of the things that I found really interesting is like during the whole like, I know this is your thing to talk about Trump, but like, but during the election, we were talking about it and we were like seeing, the East Coast, the West Coast like light up, Democratic. And then you see
Yeah.
this vast amount of like this, the center and South go
Yeah.
Republican. And one thing that a friend of mine said to me, and he was, he's incredibly smart, and he was like, that those people feel completely left behind. So
Yeah.
like we're progressive and we're like, what's wrong with you? But you have to
Yeah.
remember that these people feel completely left behind. They're
Yeah.
scared, they're in lower socioeconomic situations. And so this creates this like cult of fear. And
Yeah.
when people or animals are scared, what do? They do dumb, crazy shit to like
Yeah.
fight or flight. So, I digress. But the point is I think that there is something that you can learn here. There's a concept that you can learn here rather than get stuck in the story of like, I was the bad guy.
Yeah. Which later in our lives, we will talk about that good and evil conversation. But that's a really good example of how, like, what we have been indoctrinated in our, because our colonial culture is very binary, it's very black or white, it's very this or that. It does not leave room for complexity. We live in a carceral state where, like, if you commit a crime, you're just a bad guy, send him away, you're a criminal now. We don't have a cultural capacity to look at, like, well, what are the factors that led to this person making these choices? We don't, and so, like, what the Akashic perspective has really helped me see very clearly is, like, underneath it all, no matter what we do, that's a person, that's a human being that was faced with whatever their own traumas, their belief systems, the resources available to them, their upbringing, their socialization, all these things. And it's from that perspective that we make decisions to meet our unmet needs. And so I think, like, if you want to look at past lives, cool, but it's not always comfortable, because on some level, once you learn these things about your other iterations of your soul, you're kind of now responsible for having done that. And it doesn't mean you can go back into that lifetime and change the course of history, but you can take responsibility for your state of being in this lifetime, and you can start to resolve, like, what those unmet needs were. So like in my Akashic, in my workbook, there are two questions that I really, like, sat. I first was asked these questions in one of Linda's classes, Healing Through the Akashic Records, and it has stuck with me, and it's been a really huge influence in my approach to life. And the first is, show me a lifetime where I was a victim of harm. What was, what kind of, like, what was the purpose? Not purpose is a bad word, but, like, what was the purpose of that lifetime, like, for the expansion of the soul? And then conversely, show me a lifetime where I was a perpetrator of harm. And what was the purpose then? How was I trying to meet unmet needs through those actions? In order to have one, compassion for both of those iterations of myself, and two, to see beyond just writing someone off as good or bad. Like, oh, right, that's a victim. They're good. They deserve all of our comfort and support. Oh, that person perpetrated harm. They're bad. They don't deserve anything. That is how unmet needs stay unresolved and stay with us, if we cannot have that compassion to then afford that person an opportunity to resolve or to repair rupture, whatever the thing is. And we do horrific things as a person that studies colonialism and genocide. Like, this isn't just like, oh, I lied to my friend, or, oh, I stole $10. Like, these are, we do bad things to each other on this planet. And if you're really ready, I think like the Akashic perspective can support you with all of these other pieces of information, like being unconditionally loved, unconditional compassion. Once you know those, to me, that once you have those in place, that's like tying a rope around your waist and going into the underworld. It's like, well, I know that these things are true, so I can go into this dark place and I can look at it, and I don't have to buy into it as my only truth or my only experience.
Right.
But if you just go in willy-nilly and you're like, tell me about my past life, and you're like not ready for what that is, I think it can be very disturbing for people.
Yeah. I think that the deeper you get into this kind of practice, I really don't even know how to explain our practice, but I think the deeper you get into it, the thing that you're gifted with is perspective. It always boils down to perspective, I believe.
Totally. Totally.
And I think that by that, it can be very confusing for people. Yeah. You know, like one thing I brought up yesterday, I think it was yesterday or this morning, I was talking to my husband, because I had my Roku on and there was like the Jared Subway guy. And I was like, what was his deal? What was his, and Steve was like, they found like child pornography on his computer. And I was just like, that is fucking ratchet. That is disgusting. I hate those people. Like, I'm so glad that when, you know, they go to jail, they're the ones that get it. But with that being said, I know in the back of my head, like that stuff, that abuse comes from typically more than often people being abused themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this is what, this is like another faction of programming, right? We talk about social programming. We talk about financial programming. Well, this is also like a programming that happens in people where this happened to them. And so they think that this is okay, or they think that there is something beautiful in this. And they, even though they know that it's wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, there's a piece of me that can have a little compassion, but overall, I would shred every single one of those people through a paper shredder. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So like, just because you have perspective doesn't mean you have to let go of those values. And I think that what gets really confusing in like a spiritual practice or a spiritual journey is that people are like, oh, well, I have to let go of this belief because now I have compassion. I see it a lot in like the yogic community, or actually generally in a lot of the spiritual community, where people are like, well, I have to let go of this and not have judgment. But like, ultimately, like you still have free will to do that. Like, I still have free will to fucking hate those people. I swear to you, if anyone ever looked at Esme the wrong way, I would break their arms off. I would burn them. Yeah. So I can have perspective. And I say that because we just like unloaded a bunch of stuff about the Holocaust and you know, a lot of things. And I don't want it to get twisted, you know, that just because we have compassion, just because we have perspective, doesn't mean that we don't have a sense of judgment, or you know, we're not saying like these people are like Nazis were like, you know, they were like hurt people. Like, no, they were awful people, especially as somebody who had a lifetime where I was shot in the back of the head by a Nazi. So, you know, I do want to clarify that. But I also think that if you look at these past lives to help you, if you're willing to open yourself up to expanding your point of view, past lives can be very helpful. And this is what I like to call, like, you know, when we were like saying earlier, that whole remembering thing, I think that helps you. But I think we should like segue into like some questions and into like how we can access past lives.
Can I respond to one thing though?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, I totally agree with. And there's like an implication that like when I've had people confront me with this, like when I'm talking about past lives and compassion, it's like, oh, so we just let people get away with things because they're trying to meet an unmet need. And no, we're still in a relational, we're in a relational like ontology. We're still accountable to each other. You can do whatever you want or whatever you need to do to resolve an unmet need. But if you cause harm or whatever you do, even if you don't cause harm, there are consequences to your actions that you then have to deal with. And so that's one thing that like, that's that part I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the perspective, the compassion, but there is a whole other section to this that we're not getting to. The other thing is like, I think like what you're hitting is exactly why magical baddies is important. And what you're describing to me is like, I've developed this very expansive spiritual practice and I have retained my own sense of self as a human being, which includes being judgy or whatever, or having judgments or opinions and values. And I know the Akashic perspective and I also know my human perspective. And I feel the same way. There are things where I'm like, I can hear them say, oh, but this and that. And then I can just turn around and be like, I don't fucking care. Like
1,000%.
And so like, and that's okay. And that's fine. And I think I encourage people to do that. And if anything, seeing the distinction between the Akashic perspective and my perspective, and I am very much more compassionate than I was earlier in my life since developing this Akashic perspective, but it helps you to know yourself even more. And like, you came here to be yourself. You didn't come here to like, just yield your whole sense of self to this like perspective. Like, it's a beautiful thing to be like, I'm going to break that dude's arms off. Like so it's one of the strands of the string cheese is you being you.
Yeah. I think that, you know, touching on that with magical baddies, like both Leah and I say stuff that make people uncomfortable. And I think that what we both share is that we're okay with people being uncomfortable. Because this is like how we feel. But I think that I have true disdain for groupthink. So, you know, if you're going into your spiritual journey or whatever, and then you're like, oh, I'm supposed to do this to make myself be a good person.
Yeah.
You're not being true to yourself and you're not deprogramming what is out there. You're just following a trend or following what everyone else is doing. And I think ultimately, like being able to have multiple perspectives, the more we dive into that, we start to see that we as a person are more than just one person.
Yeah.
We are layers of dimensional like constructs or lack of constructs, expansions, you know? And the more you do that, the more vast your practice becomes.
Yeah.
And you start to get okay with being lost between the concept of like time and space and perspective. And multiple things being true and multiple things being false and proving yourself wrong. And I think that we get so drawn into being right all the time. That's one of the biggest like falters we have as like human beings. And I think when you start being comfortable with being wrong, it like, so I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. Maybe groupthink is the right thing. It just isn't right for me. And it's not right for people that, you know, work with me or talk with me. Like there's a big group of us that are like, hey, something's like fucking wrong or something's like fucking weird.
Yeah.
And like, how can I feel this, but also feel this? You can have those emotions. It's like, you know, when you're dating and you really like this person, you really like this person, like, well, which one is it? Well, I mean, I don't know. You haven't committed. So like, you can like them both. Who cares? Like, what we didn't get into is past lives or concurrent lives in the interplanetary dimensions or extraplanetary dimensions, which I think is like a pretty interesting concept we should probably talk about at some point because I've got some fun ones.
I do too.
But I do want to dive into, we got some really good questions that I feel like really anchor dead on into past lives. So I'm going to just dive right into those.
Let's do it.
Okay. So the first one, which I think we did some talking on this, but is what weaves our past lives to our present and how do we find the threads?
Yeah, I love that. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go
Okay.
first.
I would say that it's your fixations, your limiting beliefs, your traumas, all those Easter eggs are usually, to me, the way that we find past lives bleeding into this life. When I say fixations, it's like when you are like, man, I'm obsessed with the Holocaust. Okay, there's probably a reason for that that resides in another lifetime. Or like if you're like, I don't know, I just feel like I need to visit, Crete or something. I don't know why. Or like, I'm obsessed with going there. Or like, well, that's probably, there's a reason why. But also like the things that you're struggling with. So like when people ask me, and I just say this, like when people to them when in readings, like when people ask me, tell me about my past lives, and I'll be like, okay, I need more than that. I'll be like, what is something that you've been struggling with your whole life in this lifetime? And those usually people are like, oh, I know the answer to that right away. And then that gives me a place to like go into that library and be like, okay, self-love, where are all the self-love lifetimes? Or like, it helps me to like hone in because there's something from that lifetime that still wants to be seen in this lifetime.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I always tell people if you're interested in a past life, it doesn't have to be a fixation that you've had your whole life. It could be even just like a hyper focus thing that you've
Craziness.
had lately. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't know why, but I really want to eat Arabic food all the last couple of weeks. Okay, go eat it. Go see what how your body reacts to it. Allow like follow those breadcrumbs. I think when you follow those breadcrumbs, it's so much easier to tap in rather than like chasing it or like forcing it. So
You're
like
using
one of my
resonance.
yeah, you're using resonance. Like one of my hyper fixations is the War of the Roses and Tudor history. And I probably watched those documentaries so often, like I could tell you everything in the back of my hand, but I know that there's something there for me, and I know that there's a few lifetimes in that time period that I had, and there's a lot of stuff that I learned. Like I did harm in that lifetime, but I also learned a lot about sovereignty. I also learned a lot about like, going against laws and creating concepts that were so foreign and crazy to people. So I think that what you do is you tap in to that hyper fixation and use your resonance, see like what is really talking to you, what is really, filling you up, and then just like continue to feel like hyper fixate on it, like it's okay. And then from there you can probably like do like a past life regression meditation or something. What I like to do when I offer something like that, and actually maybe I'll do a short one on the Patreon. But what I like to do is start with the hyperfixation and allow yourself to drown in it. And from there we can expand the reality that you've created around it. So that's how you find the threads. I also think in people too. You ever meet somebody and you're like, right off the bat. So, if you're feeling that way, like be comfortable being weird.
I felt that with the Akashic Records. The first time I did it, I was like, oh, I definitely have done this before. Like, it was just like, I know this. So, like, I've subsequently seen many, many lifetimes where I was an Akashic, in touch with the Akasha.
So, yeah, I agree with that. Okay, next one. Why the fuck did we sign up for this clown parade again?
Oh, yeah. You go.
You go first. I think this goes back to what we were just talking about with the whole Nazi thing, and then how I dove into like what we're conceptually going through right now in this nation. I think we sign up to experience more of the nuggets that or perspectives that we have brought in or expand upon them. But what I want to point out is, as much as everything sucks, and what did we call this? Clown parade?
Yeah.
Right? We're looking at like one sector of this lifetime, one sector of what's going on macrocosmically, microcosmically. What about the other stuff that's also going on or could be going on or will be going on? So yeah, life sucks. You know, not to blink 182 it, but I hate that band, but there's some really beautiful stuff in it too. And so I think sometimes when we quote sign up for it or we nod our head and keep it moving, maybe it wasn't because of the clown parade. Maybe it was because of the concept of love, or maybe it was because of like something that you really enjoyed. Like, you know, again, this is a perspective thing, but like just today I was coming back from the chiropractor and, you know, that classic song Project Bitch came on. And I thought about how, like, the immediate thought I had was like, shit, like, I remember not going to school because our electric got turned off and like we had to like eat hot dogs off the grill because that was like the only way we could eat. And now I have like security. I have a loving husband. I'm about to have a baby. Yeah. Like I'm driving around in my like super nice Tiguan in the suburbs. Like I never thought I could have this. And it like really drilled that into me. And that's just in this lifetime, right? That's just like a blip. Yeah. So what happens from like lifetime to lifetime where you could have had something so horrid or awful or whatever, and then that perspective expanded into something beautiful. I have amazing friendships. I have like a really awesome, you know, I get to travel all the time and I get to see like other culture. Like, I think that that was like a little one noted. And I think, but with that being said, that like quote bad stuff makes us really appreciate and love the good stuff.
Yeah. I definitely, we've definitely had to barbecue things because we didn't have electricity or gas turned on. like now I grill hot dogs because I want a grilled hot dog, not because I have to. I would answer that with like, because it's fun. Like, we keep coming back because it's fun. The records have like told me like a roller coaster is a representation of a lifetime. There are parts where you're like climbing and climbing and climbing. The anxiety is building. You know something bad is going to happen. And then there's parts where you just have to let go and surrender and you drop. And you're like, well, at least I have relief from the anxiety, but this is still terrifying. And then there are parts where you hit the bottom. You're like, oh, reprieve. Finally, I'm in a chill moment. And then you go up again. There are parts where you're upside down and you're disoriented. So like, and then you get off and you get right back on because you're like, that was actually so fun.
Yeah.
I didn't remember it in the moments when I was going to throw up and I was like terrified. I wanted to get the hell off of it in those moments. But actually now that I'm off it, I want to get back on. And it's literally as simple as that for me.
Yeah, I will say in my studies with the angelics, angelic beings or beings of that dimension do not have the opportunity to have this experience.
Right.
Yeah. So we have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And so there's no hierarchy, right? When we're talking about like deities, angelics, there's no real hierarchy, but there's experiences and we get to experience free will. That's something they don't get. So there's also kind of that, like, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. We're in a class of our own.
Yeah.
Which is like pretty cool.
Yeah. There are certainly, I think that was an awakening to me too, to be like, wow, there are, and this is one thing that I learned from just dealing with the Akashic Records is that like, they are not incarnated in a human body. They can give us a lot of advice, but they're not living this life. We are. And like, so they, in a sense, they don't know about some things. And that really was like, oh, Bashar calls being a human on Earth the master class. Like, you would not be here if your soul was, like, if you were not a badass in some way, because this is really hard. And that helped me when I was really, when I've been really struggling to be like, oh, yeah, I do have some strength and some power here. I chose to be here.
Also, this clown parade, like, you know, the world is like burning, but it's burned so many times. And we've all been there. Okay. Next one. I struggle believing in karma and how past lives affect our current lives. What are your thoughts?
Do you want me to go or do you want to go?
I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, I think karma, I mean, I'm going to say, like, I'm not a practitioner of Hinduism, and also my knowledge of it is very, very incredibly lacking in base. So I'm not going to speak from that perspective, but I can say that that's a concept that's been kind of like internalized through pop culture and through, and there's been like a pop culture take on that word. And I do know that take on it, which is almost to say that there's like a cycle of like, almost like a punitive cycle of like, you know, having to pay for your actions. And the records are really like, that is just an uninformed interpretation of what's happening here. Like, that is not what's happening. There's no punitive thing. There's no, there's nothing punitive about your soul or the universe or whatever you want to call it. Like, there, you're not here because you're being punished. You're not fated to suffer in any lifetime. But what the records do talk about, so like, if we think of, if karma is kind of like the sum of your experiences that have contributed to your current and future experiences, then like, yes, we are on this like, this like path of expansion. And it, for me, it goes back to unmet needs, that like, if you didn't get a chance to meet those needs in this lifetime, you're going to get another opportunity here, and more and more and more. And everything is an opportunity. And just using that word instead of like a punishment or like doom, to me, shifts the whole perspective on, it's a paradigm shift around like, oh, this sucks, but it's not because I'm being punished. I know that this is such a generalization. And I don't really, I can't really speak to like, I'm just basing this on the pop culture definition of it.
I would say like most people's concept of karma is basically Hinduism that has been drained through a Judeo-Christian filter, which is, I think it was the time of like King Solomon, an eye for an eye, right? And so that is not the actual definition of the Hindu or Buddhist concept of karma, though it is a cycle of experiences and causal effects. But it doesn't mean like if I was a bad guy and I stole in the next lifetime, I will be the person that has been stolen from. That's not really the concept. Now, in different Eastern philosophies, karma is conceptualized. So, for example, like my father's family is Buddhist, and I mean like devout Buddhist. Like, he would have to wake up in the middle of the night and do chanting and prayer. And what he told me is like, you can't be a human in this lifetime and be a dog in the next. Like, that's not how it works. And that really broke my heart when I was a kid. But I don't believe in that. So, you know, I think what it really boils down to in your idea of karma, or whatever you have taken in as karma, it really boils down to your belief system. Ultimately, your belief system is your belief system, and how you live your life and how you navigate the spiritual realm, the reality, all of that comes down to your belief system. So if you're struggling to believe in it, don't believe in it. Like, that doesn't work for you. Or from my perspective, what I love to do, go do some research and prove yourself wrong. Or, you know, but we have to remember, like, here's two different things from this. It is a concept that has been written by man. At least we think so. So that's one thing. But then on with that being said, it's a concept that has been around for thousands of years, like pre-Judaic, pre-Christian. Like this is a very old concept. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, again, like what baker's dozen, whatever.
Six of one, half dozen of another.
I never get it right, but I always want to use it. So I would, you know, say if you're like, I'm struggling, but I'm like kind of interested, go follow that. Like go check it out, go learn about it. But if you don't feel it, like you don't feel it, and that's okay. And seeing how, like, what was the second part of this question? Here we go. And how past lives affect our current lives. So I think we talked a lot about how past lives interact with our current lives. If that makes more sense to you, great, use it. If it doesn't, leave it. You know, I don't think just because there is a major concept that has been around for a really long time and you don't feel that it is true for you, that you necessarily have to feel for it, because that would go against my ethos of groupthink.
I think like what you're de describing is exactly like why studying ontology is so important in developing your spiritual practice, because like if you are in an ontology that tells you to believe in carcerality, in policing, in punishment, then your concept of karma will be rooted in that belief system. And so a lot of people are, when they talk about karma, what they're really talking about to me is policing. There's no policing on the Akashic or soul level to me. Like that just doesn't exist. So I can see through someone's belief system when they start talking about karma that way. And I choose not to believe that.
Agreed. Moving on. Okay. What do the records say about why we don't come to Earth with more memories of them?
Oh, you do this one. You start this one.
We have plenty of memories of them. It's just, where are you looking? And I didn't necessarily need to go to the records for that. I think, again, and I will beat this in till the end of this podcast. Spiritual thought, spirituality, all that is not in a realm of like mystic separation of who we are and how we live. This is why I use the word of like spiritual ecosystem. It is within you. It's how you live. It's constantly there, and it's reminding you. So I think when you start to recognize, you know, we start small, right? All of us do this, like my dreams, signs, symbols, synchronicities. When you start like really honing into those and you start learning the language of your spiritual ecosystem, you start to see other things that are like, wait, there's something more here. And so, like, again, the fixations, the your body like reacting to seeing a Chicago on fire, or you know, anything like that. Like, you do have memories, they are there. It's just like, again, it's not always intellectual.
I would actually say that's 100% true. And we do have to attune ourselves to like the subtler ways that those other lifetimes are present for us. But also, the records have told me multiple times, like, honestly, it doesn't matter. Like if you were to live a lifetime where you never even knew the concept of past lives, that's exactly right. Like it's even to the point where they're like, the records have said, like, don't try to be spiritual. Try to be a human. Try to be yourself. Like if you want to leave all of the things that you think are spiritual behind, like the foods you eat, the practices you have, the way, you know, anything, your quest for knowledge, whatever, and you want to go, you know, have a drug addiction somewhere and not be present for life at all, that also is spiritual. So like this quest to like remember is an attempt to meet an unmet need. So maybe it's like, well, if I could remember, then I know I have purpose. If I could remember, then I know I'm important. Instead of like the point of coming here is to be the human being that you are in your body now, whether you know these things or not.
That's I feel especially for me is 100% true because I definitely have moments where I'm like, should I just like fuck off and just be a mom? Like, should I just like leave all this behind? Like, what am I doing? I don't, you know, and I often find with clients, like once we jump into this, they're like, oh, I want to become this person, or how do I be like you, or how do I do this, or how do I start a business? And you know, we're just like monetizing something. So, you know, it's just kind of like, I don't know, like you're right. Like being human is the most spiritual thing you can do. And like, I often struggle with that personally is like, do I just like be a mom, be present, be, and that's what we're talking about like being present, right? Just this like feeling this texture, like being here is like so extraordinary. So I think in being here, when you are more present and aware, you can find those things, those memories all around you. And then they become less subtle and they become really loud. But yeah, I agree with that. I do want to touch on an overarching thing that was told to me actually in the records, which is almost rare to hear me say. But in terms of like past lives, in terms of coming here again, in terms of all of that, what they told me is every experience that we have, like all these people, and it's not just the people on this earth, it's the other souls and spirits and beings and wherever they are, have, you know, it's as like if there was me and then there was another person that was like me, but they went left and I went right, you know, or they took the path that I didn't take or whatever. These like experiences are basically what kind of floods this central system of information for us, and not necessarily just for us, for all. So remember that, like, whenever you're doing something, and this kind of goes back to the right or wrong answers or decisions, all of this is like the information that we pull. So if we boil this down to a microcosmic like concept, it's like when Leah is in the records and you're asking her a question, she's pulling all of this information from all of these lifetimes, from all of these experiences. So, you know, like one of the things that we're told when we're studying the Akashic records is like it's every outcome. Well, it's every outcome because we've done the work for it. And that's this giant computer that is like creating these like concepts and these outcomes and whatever. So like ultimately, when you are in the records or in the Akasha, a lot of the times it kind of almost feels like very laissez-faire. It's like, I don't know, who cares? Like it doesn't matter. Like, you know, but it's because that's what it is. So this whole overarching theme is just like an absorption of experience and outcomes, and I don't even know what that's for. I don't know, like who knows, but that's what I was told.
I totally agree with that. And it's been my experience too. And what you're saying has made me in the last, it's very like, I haven't told anybody this, but like in the last, like, I'd say 3 or 4 months, started to just disagree, not disagree, but not resonate with the concept of a soul anymore. Like, it's not making sense to me anymore. Like, this idea of a soul, that we have each of us has a soul, and then there's maybe a bigger oversoul, or like these things. And I was like, where did I get this from? I got it from being taught this. And so I already had this story. And then I go into the Akashic Records and they affirm the story, but now the story's not making sense. I don't know. This is a topic for another day, but this just makes me think that was maybe a little philosophical
Yeah, I
there.
mean this actually dives in because you and I had this conversation, and this dives into like, okay, so many people are like, oh, I was Queen Elizabeth the first in a past lifetime. And what I've studied in Allan Kardec, the spirit said like you are a paraspirit and you are just one being like over and over again. And I do not believe that because I think that multiple people have this identification with maybe some greater being, some huge
Right.
leader,
Yeah.
because it takes so much energy to be something that big, right?
Yeah.
And so like I can be a, like what was told to me once
Yeah.
was that I was part of the energy makeup of Queen Elizabeth I when she was a teenager. That was it. And so like as she got older and evolved and like her cells regenerated and all that, different energies come in. And we, so like, yeah, I don't really believe in like this whole idea of like we are one soul over and over again. I think that we can be multiple parts of this energy makeup. And so these things can be true. Like everybody who feels that they're, I don't know, some Atlantean priestess, that can be true. Like that, you know, you could,
like all the Christ of you consciousness.
Could, right.
Yeah, how multiple people are claiming to be a part of the Christ consciousness, which is like, totally, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I need to think about what I'm thinking and refine it and come back to it, because it's not, I can't even grasp the concept myself.
Yeah.
Are there any more questions, or is that it?
The last question was like, how can we access our past lives? But I think we already went through that. So
you can book us. No.
You can book Leah. Oh, yeah. I'm about to pop off the maternity leave.
That's true. Yeah. You can book me.
Book Leah. And I think I will put up like a meditation or something, a past life one on Patreon for our Patreons. So as we're wrapping this up, we'll just remind you, we have a Magical Baddies Patreon for $5 a month. You get a really cool sticker.
Oh yeah, the stickers.
Eat it. Good.
Yeah, they're perfect.
They're so cool. But also you get to hang with us. So when I come back from maternity leave, we'll schedule those first lives where you can ask us all sorts of questions and just let the diarrhea flow from your mouths, because we're here.
Yeah, that will be so fun.
Yeah.
And you'll have like a 3-month-old at that point.
Yeah, weird.
That's wild.
If you're looking for it on Patreon, the best way is to go to my Instagram. Is it up on your Instagram?
No, not yet. Okay. I'm sorry.
So you can go to my Instagram at Divine Void Sophia, and the link is right there. I've had some people like search for it and say they had trouble. So that's the direct link. But that was past lives, and I think that was like a pretty fun trip.
Yeah, it was good and concise. We're getting more concise, which I appreciate about us.
I appreciate us too in general. All right, everybody, folks, thanks for watching, thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, join Patreon, book Leah, join her classes, and that's it for now. Bye-bye.
Bye.